Psalm 129 tonight, Psalm 129, kind of an emphasis on gratitude, thanksgiving. I was in a bookstore one time and I saw this book. It said 40,000 things to be thankful for. 40,000 things. That'll take you a little while to express thanks. And, you know, I was thinking a little bit about giving thanks. We often give thanks, but you know the real way that you show thanks is not by necessarily verbalizing thanks, but by acting on the thing that you're thankful for. You know, you say, well, thank you for this church, but never attend the church. You're thankful for the power of God in your life, but you never walk in the power of God. You thank God for the Word of God, but we don't follow it in our daily life. We thank God for forgiveness, but we walk in guilt. We thank God for His grace, but walk in our own resources. We thank God for faith, but then we walk by sight. So tonight I want to look at one thing that I think we all can be thankful for, and that is the power of God. But then I want to point out how we can demonstrate our gratitude by walking in the power of God. So if you'll turn to your Bible to Psalm 129, let's see what you can do with that. Psalm 129. The psalmist here said something that when I read that, I said, you got to be kidding. You know, so many times you read in the Bible where people walked in a certain way, and then you check your own life, and you say, well, boy, I'm not experiencing that. Well, in Psalm 129, he says, many times have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, many times have they afflicted me from my youth. So I think all of us would agree with that. We could say that. I've walked in affliction. I've had adversity. I've had trouble. But he goes on to say, yet they have not prevailed against me. They have not prevailed against me. Well, how are you going to keep from having affliction prevail against you? By the power of God, the strength of God, which you're grateful for. You know, it's one thing to say, thank God for His strength, but if you quit, if you're overcome by adversity, then what good does it do to say, thank you for strength, if you're not walking in the strength of God? So tonight, what I'd like to do is just kind of look at that. Many times, you know, we get together in church, and often we have our conversations, well, it's a tough week I went through. Man, I got it so tough. And then the next person says what? Well, that's nothing. You know, we try to outdo each other. My afflictions are bigger than your afflictions. Well, we ought not magnify the affliction. We ought to magnify God's strength, which is greater than any affliction. Thank God for His, but then if you really thank God for His power and His strength pouring in through you, and we ought not be moaning about our affliction. But if we're thankful for it, we glory in the fact that we can have and persevere over anything that comes in our life. So I want to talk a little bit about persevering. You see, each one of us tonight are either conquerors or quitters. Conquerors or quitters. We have a lot of people. There's a prevalence of quitters today. In Christian work, pastors quit. Missionaries quit. Mates quit on each other. I mean, there's a prevalence of quitting, not conquering, and walking in the strength of God. Soul winners. Maybe you used to be a soul winner, but because you went to the door and were rejected, you quit. Well, then don't thank God for the power of God, for the strength of God, if you don't apply it to your life to keep on going, even if everybody offends you and so on. He used to be a teacher in a Sunday school class, but nobody appreciated you. And so you quit. Well, don't thank God for His enduring strength if you quit and don't use the strength that God has made available. I believe there's two reasons we quit, or one reason at least why we quit. One is we have a tendency to believe that the grass is greener. Where? The other side of the fence. Well, Irma Brombeck, and I'm not a fan of Irma Brombeck's, but she said that the grass is not greenest on the other side of the fence. The grass is greenest where? Around the septic tank, right? I mean, isn't that true? Hey, you know, Don't quit on this wife. Don't quit on this job. Don't quit on this church. Don't quit. You just press on. Just press on. Just press on. We seem to be more skilled at quitting than pressing on. We have all kinds of excuses and reasons, but the end of it is we're overcome. A profile of a conqueror sounds like this. He doggedly sticks to it despite affliction. He always takes one more step. See, some of us, we quit too early. He's more like the turtle than the hare. You remember the old story, right? The old hare, boy, he had spurts, and that's what a lot of us do. We have spurts, but it'd be better just to have that steady plodding along and come out in the end like the what kind of bunny? Are you awake? I know that oxygen has left you, but got to stick with me. What is it that you want to have on your tombstone, that you were a quitter or that you were an overcomer? So I want to give you a couple types of adversity that I want to challenge you tonight. When you have that adversity, don't quit, just press on. First of all, some of you may quit because of danger. Danger. Bible says a slothful person quits because there's a lion outside. Yeah, there's a danger somewhere. But it also says in the Bible that a diligent person is one that's as bold as a lion. Which are you, bold as a lion, or are you quit because there's a lion outside? Are you a finisher or are you a quitter? And there's danger in almost anything that God calls us to do. I remember reading a story, a book called The Peace Child. A bunch of young couple were called by God to go to minister in the islands of the South Pacific, to an island where the cannibals dominated the island. Can you imagine being called by God to minister with a little child to a bunch of cannibals? You say, God wouldn't do that, would he? Oh, yeah. If you really believe that God is strong and able to meet your need and to protect you if necessary, you'll go into dangerous spots. Don't let danger stop you. Well, they stuck with the mission to work there in the cannibal on the islands where the cannibals were, and they had the privilege of leading hundreds of those cannibals to the Lord Jesus Christ. You just press on. I had meetings in Richmond, Virginia one time. I'd never been to the church. I never met the man, the pastor, but he gave me a map, and my wife and I, we started following the map, and pretty soon the houses were boarded up, and gangs were standing on the corner. And I turned to my wife, I said, boy, I think we got the directions wrong. But right smack in that area of Richmond, in fact, the pastor said at that time that had the highest per capita rate of murder, and this pastor was ministering there. Don't let danger stop you, but you just press on. Don't let darkness stop you. Now, what do I mean by darkness? Well, when you don't know what the future looks like, many of us stop and we quit. In Isaiah, if you'll turn in Isaiah 50, verse 10, I wanted to give you a verse that's meant a lot to me. Isaiah 50, verse 10. You know, when God calls us to something, we want to know the whole future. But God never does that. He just gives us the next step. The rest of the steps are in the dark. And if you're going to wait till God gives you the whole story, then you're probably going to be froze and paralyzed into inaction and have quit. It says in Isaiah 50, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Now, what does that mean? Well, one thing it means is that you don't always see what God has in store for you. I know a few pastors, if any, that when they went to a church, they fully understood what they were getting into. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. I remember God called us into full-time ministry, and all he said was, quit your job. Quit your job. That was back in 1974. A recession was going on, similar to this time, and God said, quit your job. I said, well, what am I going to do? He said, I already told you. Quit your job. See, God isn't going to give the whole path of your life ahead of you. He's going to give you one step. Peter, he says, step out of the boat. To Naaman, he said, dip in the water. Well, how's it going to work? Dip, step. You just take that first step. And so you'll get paralyzed into inaction. I have many people say, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, that sounds magnificent, but how long have you been waiting? Oh, 50 years. No, come on. You need to get out of the boat. God don't steer no parked car. God don't open up any rivers till you step in them. So who is among you who keep walking in the darkness and hath no light? How are you going to do that? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. It's not a sight thing. It's not an understanding thing. It's our eyes kept on him. Then, nextly, I believe some of us quit, not because of danger, not because of darkness, but we quit because of declining days. Now, I don't know, what are declining days? Well, I think a definition would be when our days ahead of us are less than the days behind us. Now, I don't think anybody here really knows whether they're in declining days or not. Because Jesus comes suddenly as a thief in the night. Not, he's a thief, that's not it. He comes as a, you know, the thief doesn't knock on the door and say, I'm coming Friday. But I think from just a human perspective, I probably am in declining days. But I'm not going to quit. Don't quit because of declining days. I think today too many people quit too early. As I travel around the country, I find many people, especially in Florida, who have retired at 55 years old. Man, you just started living. What are you retiring at 55? You know, I think it's a sin to retire to nothing. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with retiring so long as you retire to something else. You know, here you learn how to be a soul winner. You learn how to teach, and you learn how to sing in the choir. You learn how to be active in the Lord's work, and then at 55, you retire. Man, that you ought to be just retreading and getting ready to go. It ought to be a starting point, not a quitting point. Huh? I think we ought to all, no matter what our days are, we ought to keep going. We ought to have something we do. We need to press on, press on. I think it really you preserve your life a little bit that way. I don't know if how many of you remember Bear Bryant, Alabama. He was coaching actively at the University of Alabama until he was 84 years old. He retired at 84. Anybody tell me the rest of the story? 6 months, he was dead. You have to get up in the morning and have a reason for living. Press on. Press on. You may not be able to do what you do very fast, but you get there if you press on. You know, you might have to look through all kinds of lenses to find it, right? You might have to remember it a few times before you remember, but press on. Don't let danger stop you. Don't let darkness stop you. Don't let declining days stop you. Don't let defamation stop you. You ever been defamed? You ever been falsely accused? I was falsely accused. Yeah, I'd do anything. Offended. My people so offended so easily today. And yet we say, thank you for your power and strength. What good is it to thank him if you don't use the strength and power to overcome offense? See, the Bible says, all that live godly shall... what is it? Yeah, you're going to have offenses, but the Bible says in Psalm 119, 165, you ought not be offended by them. Yeah, I was in a church in New England one time, a couple of years ago. A fellow was sitting in the front row. I said, I've seen you before. What are you doing here? I've seen you at three other churches.
Well, the other churches offended me.
I said, well, icky poo. You say, well, why would you say that? Well, Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace. You ain't having great peace if you're offended. Great peace have they which love thy law. And what? Nothing shall offend them. See, when you say I'm offended, what you're saying, you don't love the law of God. Because great peace have they which love thy law, and Nothing shall offend them. What good is it to thank God for the power of God, the enduring presence of God, the power, the strength that God gives us, if we walk around like a bunch of wimps and refuse to work, use the power that we're giving gratitude for? No, press on. Press on. Jesus came to the cross and he was reviled, but that didn't stop him. Some of us get stopped because our rights were violated.
My rights were violated.
Oh, come on, it doesn't take much to stop us as wimpy American Christians, does it? Let alone martyrdom, but defamation. Some of us get stopped and quit because of deformity. Deformity. What do I mean by that? Well, a number of years ago, I went to introduce my ministry to a pastor in Toledo, Ohio. And he was painting his house, and he was up on the ladder. I couldn't see his face. He came down the stairs, down the ladder, and turned to me, and I, oh, my stars. What an almost revolting face. He had been badly burned in a fire, and his face was scarred and just gruesome. And I tried to look at his eyes to avoid having my stomach turn, actually look at his face. And I said, boy, this guy probably has some ministry behind the scenes. He was a pastor of a church of 250, knocking on doors, winning people to Christ. He didn't let deformity quit him, cause him to quit. He just pressed on, pressed on, pressed on. And then some of us quit because of, well, there's so many reasons that we get disappointment. I've had people say, well, my pastor disappointed me. My parents disappointed me. Well, the problem is you've got your hopes in the wrong place. God said, don't put your hopes in the pastor. Don't put your hopes in Bush. Don't put your hopes in the Republican Party. Don't put your hopes in anything. My hope is in God. And then God will never disappoint you. And you just be pressing on, pressing on. Some of us are going to let disease cause us to quit. Disease. Well, our world is rampant with disease. I talked with many of you about Alzheimer's. Many of you are talking about your maybe a son in a wheelchair or somebody else that's got MS. And it just seems like the world is filled with the curse of the fall. And there's disease present. And we all have an excuse. All have a reason we got a disease. But I believe we ought to say, God, you can cause me to persevere despite the disease. I often think of Job. We say that Job was one who had great patience. I think he had more than that. I think he had great perseverance as the Holy Spirit empowered him to press on, press on. You know, I was thinking of somebody that didn't quit. I used to caddy at the Saginaw Country Club in Saginaw, Michigan, and we had an exhibition. Four guys, four pros, played an exhibition round there. One was the local country club pro. Another one was, well, let me test this. Another one was a guy by the name of, he wore colorful, very, very colorful clothes. Jimmy, any golfers here? Jimmy? No, I was thinking, well, that may be true, but I was thinking of Jimmy DeMeritt. DeMeritt. I'm going way back, so come on back with me, buddy. The second was, you'll know this one, Sammy. No? Yell it out. Sneed, right. Sammy Sneed with the big hat, remember? The fourth one, this is quiz time. This fella was just starting his golf career. He was driving on the expressway in Texas, and he ran smack head-on into a Greyhound bus, mangled his body, messed him up, and he was in the hospital a long time. But finally, when he left the hospital, one of the first things he did was went out to the practice green, area. He started hitting the ball, and pretty soon he got on the tournament, and he became one of the world's greatest golfers. Give me the name. Say it again. Say it louder. Well, it's BH. Come on, I'll give you some help. BH. Ben Hogan. Yeah. He didn't let that quit. He just got up off the dust and picked up and pressed on. Pressed on. So, let me challenge you tonight. You know what the Holy Spirit's telling you. You might have slowed down. You might have quit. But tonight, pick it up and press on. Press on. We don't need quitters. Come on, join this church so we have some more quitters. Come on. We don't need quitters. Anybody can quit. This passage said, nothing prevailed against me. What does it take to stop and get you to resign? Now, we'll have a lifelong of a time of struggles, but I'll tell you, we might slow down, but we'll pick up the pieces and press on. Press on. Have you ever been discouraged? Sure you have. Sure you have. But overcome those discouragements and press on. Press on. Be a finisher. You know, the Bible's filled with finishers, and those are the ones that you often remember. Paul said, I have finished the course. It isn't a little spurt. Well, I used to serve the Lord for a couple of months. No. Be a finisher. Be a finisher. Nehemiah, you know, some of us, we'd start the wall, but it'd be unfinished. But it says in Nehemiah 6, verse 15, so the wall was finished. Have you not only started something, but you finished? Jesus said, I have finished the work. Aren't you glad that he persevered over darkness and disdain and disease and diversion and pressed on? So I want to ask you tonight, and that's kind of the wrap-up, have you let something or somebody cause you to slow down or to quit? And the challenge tonight, I think that this Holy Spirit would give me even. And I tell you, I've got all the reasons. Everybody tells me, you're 75 years old, you ought to quit. You ought to retire. Few people encourage you to press on. But the Holy Spirit says, press on. Press on. Press on. Press on. Let nothing prevail against you. Learn to be steadfast, unmovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord. So that's my challenge from the Word of God tonight. And if you really are thankful for the things of God, might they be exhibited in your daily living. Let's bow our hearts and heads together in prayer. Let me encourage you tonight. You need to press towards the mark of salvation. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, don't lean back, but run. Run. Run to the Savior while you still have time. And usually at this last meeting, I try to do something a little bit different. You know, it's so easy at this last session for everybody to say, well, that conference is over. It hasn't even started. Because the purpose of this meeting is not to see how many people we can get to church, but how many will live differently because of what they've heard. And I want to challenge you tonight, maybe identify one thing that you ask God to change. Just one thing. Forget everything else. One thing. Maybe something from Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. You say, God, please change me in this one area. And then I want you to come, if you would, just drive a stake at the altar and say, God, change me in this one way. The pianist is going to play. We'll not sing, but with our standing to our feet with heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me challenge you to kind of wrap up this conference that way. God, change me. God, change me one way. And would you come spend a moment here in prayer? Stand to your feet, would you?